We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, you know, I know you're not a big All-Star guy. Like, in the scheme of things, like, you're not someone who geeks out on All-Star Weekend. But this is a pretty fun
one. Yeah, I mean, All-Star Weekend is to get fans that don't watch every single basketball game to enjoy basketball, right? It's all the coolest, best players in the world, but I love it now because I think I'm less grumpy about it, but it's just cool. Even yesterday with the dunk contest, it's cool, man. It's cool to see guys go out there, JTA, our guy, go out there and just, you know, do something. But, you know, ever since they did Elam Ending, Sam, we're going to start here. Ever since they did Elam Ending with the All-Star game, it has been special. Can't miss. You need to watch the last 10 minutes of NBA All-Star game because it is real basketball with the best in the world.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I made the rundown before the main game, and I was actually going to talk about the Rising Stars Challenge, where same Elam Ending type of rule, sure. First to 50, first to 25. And, like, my feeling was the same way, but obviously the big show upstaged it. And all we want to see, like, we understand it's not the NBA playoffs. They're not, like, schemed up, you know, it's not like a tactical chess match, but we just want to see the 10 guys on the floor competing hard. And ever since they've gone to the Elam Ending, the ending has always been fun because you see the, I mean, we all play pickup. We've all played, usually you play 21, right? And it's like when someone's getting close, All right. Now, everyone, it's time to D up. Yep. You know, it's time to get a little more aggressive about it. Yep. It's very relatable, and it's just one way to, like, force them to play hard in a situation where, you know, usually they wouldn't.
Yeah. Yep. And it doesn't get, I mean, hey, it's fitting that LeBron hit the last shot. But, hey, let's really talk about the really stole the weekend, I think. It's Steph Curry. Is there anybody, as we talk about a million times, is there anybody ever as exciting, entertaining, skilled as this dude? 50 points, Sam. He shot 27 threes, 50 points. And he made the entire game a must-watch event, right? It wasn't like, oh, let's watch him screw around for three quarters and score 185 points, and then we'll just watch it 10 minutes. It felt like this whole game, even if you're a casual fan that never watches, you sat here and said, yeah, I'm going to sit here and watch every second because Steph, he might do a look away from 30. If I do a look away from 30, that's an insane.
You know, it's funny. They had the second screen broadcast going with, like, Draymond on the sidelines and the inside the NBA guys. And I love that stuff just because they're funny. They're fun. And I thought that was going to be the best way to watch the game. And within 10 minutes, I'm like, oh, Steph's – no, I don't need the sideshow. I got the main show going tonight, right?
Oh my God. Let you go, but that I agree so much. I changed it at halftime. I agree so much. I realized I didn't actually need the interviews. I want to hear Reggie geek out and D-Wade geek out over Steph. That's what I want.
Yeah, and it's like, and Draymond was amazing doing the whole thing, but it's like when you see Steph going like that, like I don't need that extra stuff. Is perfect for a normal All-Star game where you're like, bro, they're not even trying, you know.
Yep.
In general, so Steph did finish two short of the record, and it's a little annoying he couldn't get that last basket. They tried to get it for him. I'll give LeBron this. Could have been petty. Could have decided I'm going to take over.
Right.
They doubled Steph though. That's the thing. Like it's not like Steph missed gimmies. It's like the other team was, we're not letting him get the record. They were throwing two bodies at him. They were doing. I mean, it's only Steph can get two bodies thrown at him in an All-Star game like that, right?
Yeah, I mean, dude, and he made one against a double. I think Tatum was a little like, why am I doubling here? Then he realized like. And then by that time, Steph had made another three. That was just incredible. And then they hard doubled him another time. We saw that, remember, a couple years back when it was Team Steph. And KD and LeBron were on the same team. And they doubled Steph at the end of the game. That was pretty funny. This one's even funnier because you've got LeBron and Giannis on the other side. And Steph is getting doubled. I thought about this. And it's just – you never see a 6'3 guard just take over the game like that. And I think when it's like someone like Anthony Davis, he's 7 foot tall. There's nothing you can do. He's just going to the rim. He's getting offensive rebound. He's dunking. They never double Giannis, but there's just nobody ever in the history of hoops that is doing what Steph does. That's why they're doubling him. Cause it's just, that's the only thing. What can you do? It's the only thing you can do with LeBron next to him, Sam. How does that make any sense? It's crazy. Oh,
shout out LeBron with the crazy fadeaway to end the game.
Yeah, it was. It was nice.
I do appreciate how All-Star Weekend was in Cleveland, all about LeBron, and this is the time Steph decides to – not just Steph, by the way, MJ. They decide to steal the show. It feels a little petty. But to the Steph point, like, you know, the funny thing about Steph has been he's been kind of – I don't want to say bad in All-Star games, but just kind of like – lethargic, right? Like he had a flurry in the last All-Star game, but in general it's been a lot of like,
yep,
I'm here, I'll produce a couple highlights and then I'll just go sit on the bench and, you know, just have a good time, right?
Yep.
Now he's just taken over the game in a way where I'm just like, Jesus, you know, it's like, and it's perfect that's in Cleveland. Like, can you talk about the boot?
Oh, that's actually the reason why I think you accidentally muted yourself, Sam, but I think that's the reason why he went off tonight. Think about the last couple of times he's gone for over 40, 50 points. Last year, he did it against Dame when Dame had those comments in the game before where he's saying, well, now Steph has to, here's what he sees now without, you know, when he doesn't have KD and Klay on his team, right? Steph goes for 60. This year, Jayshon Tate is talking to him in the middle of the game, goes for 50. And I think that's what happened tonight. That's what happened last night. And to be fair, Sam, he should have gotten booed because when he was promoting his show, just terrible, terrible entertainment. But tonight,
I've already erased All-Star Saturday.
I'm bringing it back. I think, dude, when he's getting booed or getting some, he takes it personal, and it gives me hope that come the playoffs that he'll reach another level, because it feels like he can't shoot now unless he feels like somebody hates him or is talking shit to his face. That's really the only way Steph is going off now.
Yeah, it's just I don't even know what to do with him. Like he's on another level. I think it's also he's having a weird year for his standards, and I think people have been taking it a little. They've been taking too much out of it. It's like, oh, you're shooting 38% from three. Is he declining? Like, meanwhile, he's still the best guard in the NBA. I don't care what anyone says.
Right.
He is. Ja Morant, who, and don't get me wrong, I love Ja. He's really fun to watch. He's scoring less points. He's shooting worse from every spot on the floor than Steph. He's averaging like a half an assist more than Steph. Like everyone's, you know what I'm saying? Like that's the point. Steph at a down year is still above that. Like I don't need to get into Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and those guys. It's just kind of like it speaks to the standard, so to say, that you know Steph is on another level from other players. He's held to the same standard as LeBron, Giannis, KD. Like, he's held to that standard. He's not held to the Ja Morant, Devin Booker, Chris Paul standard.
Chris Paul, yeah, 100%. He is not, and he hasn't been. And that's the thing when you talk about it. When you name these guys, they were doing the NBA top 25, right, at halftime, at the hour-long halftime, and they're pulling all these guys up. And, you know, you see the guards like Chris Paul and John Stockton, and now even throw D-Wade in there. And these guys, and you realize quickly – those guys don't have the same accolades that Steph has. You realize two MVPs, three titles, greatest
Russell,
shooter score.
Russell Westbrook waving in front of a green screen. By the way, the wave, kind of funny. The wave kind of funny. In front of a green screen was the funniest. It's not Russ. Like, there was like
– Frazier had the best one.
He
had
the best Nash. One. The memes of the Carmelo, you know, we don't need to talk about
that. All right.
it was just like, you know, anyway, to your point.
It's just he's just better than – like, he's not – classified as a, like, I don't even think, like, he's the best point guard in the world is even worth the debate. It's the debate of, hey, is he the best player in the world? Then it's, hey, you know, you can have your pick. Steph, Giannis, you know, Jokic, Bron, like, all those guys, you can have your pick. But Steph is in that conversation. He's not in the conversation of, oh, is Jarrett has him or CP3. Like, that's not a conversation, which is crazy, right? Because everyone is 7 feet. You got this dude. You got this dude that's as tall as you, Sam, out here dropping 50 against the best players in the world.
I'm glad you acknowledge me and Steph are both 6'1".
hey, he says he's 6'3", by the way. Steph says he's 6'3".
I know.
Don't go with that.
It's cool. He's not. But it's cool. I want to let's move forward. I know everyone's going to call in and they want to talk about right. Steph and this other stuff. I want to talk about a few other things on All-Star Weekend. One, Michael Jordan remains the coolest man in just on earth. Showing up after being at the Daytona 500 all day and just completely blasted. Like, I don't even know what else I was. Like, just walking in, and he got louder cheers in Cleveland than LeBron James. Like, that lets you know the God status that Michael Jordan is. And it's just, you know what, like, mystique is? Mystique is when no one sees you, and when they see you, they go nuts. Like, Michael Jordan is kind of like reclusive. Like, you don't see him publicly, and he just shows up and it's just out of his mind.
Yeah, that was probably one of the coolest things this week. I saw that he showed up in the middle of the halftime, which is funny. How long do you think he stayed at in the arena, Sam? How long do you think? Because
90 minutes. Max. You know, he asked the PJ to refuel. Text him as soon as it was fueled up so he can go back.
Don't even turn it off. Don't even turn the plane off. Let's just keep that thing running. You came in, said what's up to a bunch of people. The hug that he gave to Luka was hilarious. That's the one your uncle does to one of you guys when he's kind of messing around. You know what I mean? So I thought that was cool. Him and LeBron did share a hug. You know what I mean? Like, it's I think one of those things where they put him in the middle of the what is it, the concourse or whatever it was when they were taking pictures at the end. So no, that's the GOAT, man. That's dude's never lost in the finals. What can you do?
It doesn't make no sense. That one thing, I don't want to get into a negative mood, but one thing that kind of watching the top 75 and watching some of the players up there, it made me feel a certain way that Clay and Draymond were. You know what I'm saying?
You and I are lockstep tonight. We are the same person tonight.
They're going to get on the top 100 list, but it's kind of BS that they didn't get on the top. So, and when I say top 100, I mean in 25 years when they do this list again, they're going to be like, Draymond is on it. And so is Klay Thompson. The same way they did with like Dennis Rodman, Scottie Pippen, T-Mac, like a couple of the guys who were like playing during the 90s when they did the top 50 list that they probably should have honored, but they didn't at the time.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's like they can't take them out, right? Like you can't push anyone down, right? I guess that's
weird part. Go tell Bob Cousy, it's like, actually, your ass. No, it's like we acknowledge like there's a, you know, no one thinks like Cousy and like, you know, Elgin Baylor could hang in today's NBA, right? It's just like acknowledgement that they were dominant in their era.
That's why Clay was so mad. I'm actually surprised Draymond has taken in stride a little bit. But, you know, sometimes I see, like, I don't know. Dame's an Oakland guy. Seeing him up there is kind of – Anthony Davis, another guy where it's just like,
These guys are there for I can't like, speak to the Al Greers, right? Like, I don't know who the hell that is, but
yeah.
You know, some of these current guys. Russ has an MVP, I guess. So, you know, you throw him in there, but anyway, cut you off. But
yeah, I was going to throw out there. It's like you see Kevin McHale and James Worthy, and those guys average 18 points a game, being the number two player on a dynasty team with like 5 to 7 all-star appearances and a few titles. And I'm like, that sounds like Klay Thompson to me, you know, like that. That's my whole thing. It's just like Klay's going to get on this list after he retires the same way that like, you know, how everyone just has like reverence for like Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker when they got to the end of the rope, but maybe didn't acknowledge how good they were along the way. It's kind of annoying, but like from a Warrior perspective, it's probably good. I guarantee you Klay and Draymond are watching this and they, you know, if you believe motivation matters, if you believe that like that stuff's going to matter, I think this is the sort of stuff that gets them a little more excited for the playoffs, right? A little more like, oh, you don't think I'm as good as that guy? Let me show you how good I am.
I think especially Klay, the way he's come back. The way he's looked, right, and the way he's been so versatile offensively, the way that we've never seen. Another guy, Draymond, I want to take it down this road. He says he's going to be back in 3 to 4 weeks, maybe, hopefully, perhaps. So he said it on the broadcast during, and by the way, he did a great job interviewing guys, but he threw it out there.
They're really rolling with that whole. So 3 weeks. I mean, Fitz throughout the 14th. Fitz is calculated. He's like a LeBron out here. You know, it's just kind of like so I do think mid-March is what they're shooting for with that.
Yep.
But yeah,
yep. To your point. So there you go. There you go. Interesting. Get Draymond back for the last 10 plus games, actually. It's gonna be a lot of games for him to get his run up before the postseason. So I thought that was like a bit of good news to hear him confirm it, right? Versus anyone else.
Yeah, I agree. Should we move on to
any more topics? Any more topics? No.
I mean, we could go Rising Stars. Maybe we'll talk about Rising Stars later in the show.
Sure.
We talked dunking. Let's hit dunk contest real quick.
Right.
So All-Star Saturday night kind of sucked. Not because of the dunk contest, but just in general, it was kind of subpar. I thought Juan was above average for the first round, and then his lack of hops kind of showed. Like, I felt bad for him trying to do Jay Rich's dunk contest winning dunk, and I'm like, you know, like there's only a half dozen people in the last 20 years who can get up like Jay Rich.
I'm not sure. He's got to have practiced that, right? Like,
he's got to have
done it before to do that.
He's hit it in practice, but you know what I mean by like, he's the type of guy who, if everything lands perfect, he can hit the dunk. Whereas Jay Rich is the type of guy who gets so much air and can hang that it can be messed up, but he can still hang it, you know? Like,
yeah.
So, but I don't focus on it. I thought Juan actually had a really good show in general. And I was like, I was pretty happy because I have a soft spot for him, given everything he means to the team, the area.
Right.
You just don't see stories like him every year where it's like, you know, kind of underdog. Obviously, we all know, like, at-risk youth, could have had his life go a million different ways. But more than anything, like, even when he gets to college and gets his life in a positive direction, which a lot of people from his background do not get the luxury of doing, he still is not an NBA player, and then he ends up like going to Mexico and all these places and making the NBA. So I'm always going to have a soft spot for him because of East Oakland and everything he's been through. But in general, I thought he overperformed and did well, right?
Yeah, I thought they did a poor job covering him. I thought they were kind of making fun of him the whole time and kind of poo-pooing all his dunks. And I was just like, guys, like, what are we doing here? Jalen Green was god awful. I don't know what he was doing. Co-Anthony was
surprised. I was surprised.
Yeah, I was too. I mean,
I thought Jalen was going to put something down, but yeah, you're right.
he was the fit. And like Cole Anthony's like 6'2". I don't even know why he was in the dunk contest. He obviously like, sure, he could dunk, but like another guy that shouldn't have been there. But it's like, I thought like JTA hit his first couple dunks. Look, they weren't blow off the building type of dunks, but he made them. He didn't take 13 tries. Like, they should have covered his story. Like, that would have been a cool story for people to know, right? Like, it would have been nice for people to like, hey, this guy, how, like you just said, how he made it to the NBA. I that was my gripe. I just very disliked the way that they talked about JT because I felt like it was disrespectful. I mean, the guy is an NBA player and they acted like he was me out there. Like, I didn't understand the vitriol.
And I agree with you. He is an NBA player. Like, in general, you would think the league would want to highlight
right
those type of stories because it's very humanizing. Like, I don't know. This is where the NBA is different from, like, the NFL. Like, the NFL – oh my God.
They might lean too much that way, but yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just specials about JTA overcoming right. adversity. And like, you know, it's, there is a little bit where you're like, all right, guys, chill out. He is 6'6" and he can't get his head above the rim. Like, let's not act like he's you and me, but you know, but like, yeah, it was a little annoying about that, but I do feel like in general, I don't know. It sucks that his last show there didn't go through, but like I thought his first round was really good. I thought it was honestly better than I expected. But let's pivot this forward. Let's take it to like one more interesting thing, and then I'm gonna get to the callers.
Yep.
Andy Liu, Warriors Uh-oh. Are doing a dunk contest. Who on Uh-oh. The team would you want to see in a dunk contest most?
I think Andrew Wiggins is most athletic, but I wouldn't want to see him in a dunk contest. I'd probably go I'm kidding. Probably Kuminga. probably Kuminga. Just I think he's kind of like a Giannis dunker. I feel like he would just the aggression. Maybe he throws in a windmill between the legs type of thing, and it's probably Kuminga, right? It's probably not close.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So
God, Wiggins can fly though. I bet you he could throw some crazy ones up there. Oh man.
Yeah, I mean Wiggins is probably the best athlete on the team.
Oh man. Yeah.
Wiseman might actually also be up
there. Ooh, that's a good one.
But the problem is when you're 7-1, it's really hard to win a dunk contest. Like you gotta do some crazy stuff at that size. GP2 might actually be my guess on it because look, he's got the hops and he's small and he dunks like a big guy. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's got like aggression. Yeah. Now this is making me realize
what Jordan Poole. I bet you Jordan Poole sneaky. Sneaky.
Yeah.
We've seen him throw some down.
Yeah, I feel like the guys we named are probably above him.
Steph, Draymond, and Clay are the best three players that I wouldn't want to see any of them.
Yeah.
In a dunk contest. Says a lot about the Warriors.
Yeah, it's just Clay getting it over the rim one-handed, barely.
Hey, young Iguodala, man. I mean, we've seen him with it, but young Iguodala,
he's
done it. Yeah, but
he had
some crazy bounce back there.
Smiley, man. Yes. Was he Smiley?
Javon Looney.
Can I get a round of applause? Hey, I'm excited to announce Manscaped. Launched their ultra premium collection. Believe it or not, it's for your not so private parts. I'm talking about a leveled up hygiene routine with your favorite manly scent. This is an all-in-one skin and hair kit for the everyday man and covers you from head to toe, literally. Manscaped is trusted below the waist. Now trust them with the rest. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off, free shipping with the code LIGHTYEARS20. That's the code LIGHTYEARS20. So we all know how essential the Manscaped Lawnmower 4.0 is for the precise trim below the waist. Now they have advanced skin-safe technology, and it reduces cuts to your most delicate areas. You can also enhance your perfect grooming routine with their ultra-premium collection. So this package includes, you got the Manscaped Premium Deodorant. So not for your balls, but for your armpits. So this deodorant dries clear and is aluminum-free and smells like their signature scent. You got hydrating body moisturizer. Have tattoos or issues with dry skin, it's designed to keep skin feeling clean, smooth, and fresh. And then you get body wash to lather you up with the infused aloe vera and sea salt shower gel. You get the 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner. I'm lazy, so I like 2-in-1s. Cleans your scalp with an easy one step. And then you also get a free gift, 3-pack set of lip balm that's made up with ingredients such as vitamin E, peppermint, and eucalyptus oil to keep those chappers feeling moist. That's 4 products plus a gift inside the Ultra Premium Collection. All of these products are cruelty-free, paraben-free, vegan-friendly, and dye-free. The best ingredients with zero compromise. So again, get the 20% off for free shipping with the code LIGHTYEARS20, manscaped.com. 20% off, free shipping. The code LIGHTYEARS20 at manscaped.com. The power of traction is now in a bottle, thanks to Manscaped.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's get to the callers.
Let's get to the goons. Lead off.
Ryan, what's up, bro?
Nothing much. Just got done watching Steph. Looked like he flushed all the bad energy out of his system, hopefully, and rejuvenated himself. Looked like he cleared his mind because he wasn't shuffling his feet on every open three-pointer, which was nice. But other than that, the Rising Stars game was really fun. Scoot Henderson looked like probably the best player on the court for like the first 5 minutes. And I was like, what is going on? He's 18 years old, literally 2 years younger than everyone in the competition practically. And he was just gliding with them and hanging with them. And I was just stunned. It was almost like Joel Jacobs, like, could Steph break his hand again type deal?
Easy there. Not right now.
Very and good. By the way, you guys forgot to mention Chris Chioza for the dunk contest. I'd love to see him attempt to dunk the basketball.
Jesus
getting
Christ.
Getting his head above the rim would be fun.
You know what? No Chioza slander. No Chioza slander on the show.
Look at Sam, man of the people. I bet you he could dunk. I bet you.
No.
Ryan, what were your other thoughts from the Rising Stars game? I want to talk a little Rising Stars.
Okay, so humble brag, but Evan Mobley is sort of my cousin's friend. So I was just getting like texts from my cousin showing.
This is the most Persian comment I've ever heard.
Yeah. So sometimes he just sends my friend, my cousin Kevin Love memes, and he's just sending stuff. So I've been naturally rooting for Evan Mobley, and the way he glides is just a unique type of glide. It's not a Giannis glide. It's not a – it's like you put young Anthony Davis and he gave him Tim Duncan's brain type thing. And it's just wonderful to watch him and Cade and the basketball players won, not the hoopers, which was fun. Not Jalen Green and his goddamn NFT chain. So.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Ryan, appreciate it. You know what, Andy, I want to bring this up. Like the thing that stood out to me in the Rising Stars Challenge, it's not that like Kuminga didn't look good or anything like that. It's like there are a handful of like players under the age of 21 who are just really advanced. You know what I'm saying? He mentioned Evan Mobley, but like Scottie Barnes plays basketball like a veteran. Cade Cunningham plays basketball like a veteran.
Cade is a veteran. Cade is.
Those dudes just like, I'm just like, yeah, they like see the floor. Like Kuminga looks like a rookie where you're like, dude, he has all the tools. Just let him like slowly get there.
Josh Giddey's another one.
Yeah. Yeah. Josh Giddey. Great. I'm watching Josh Giddey and I'm like, he's 18. What? You know, or 19 or whatever it is, you know, like that's the thing that stood out to me where I'm just kind of like, it's kind of wild how many young guys there are who have kind of veteran feel.
It feels like the way that they're, that's the part where I think, you know, Steph has a legion of guys that are the next 30 years, 40 years going to try to shoot like him and just going to be able to shoot from 40. I mean, just step back threes left and right. I think you see the Cade and the Giddey, those type of guys. I think that's like LeBron, right? Where LeBron, I mean, there have been guys before him, Magic, you know, Grant Hill, guys like that, where you're big guys, but they can still handle and pass the ball. But obviously LeBron is the greatest to do that. And so I think you see a lot of these guys now who grew up watching them that are kind of this, not the same, but it's like Cade Cunningham is so poised with the ball. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think he's still the best rookie right now. And I think he's going to have the best career. I love him. And you just watch him. You're just like, does he ever make a mistake with a ball? Ever? And he has a shot and he just makes all the right decisions passing. I just think that's the stuff where it's like, that's the LeBron showing where it's just all these big dudes, 6'8". That are just handling like they're 6'2". It's crazy. The NBA, it's just going to get – they're just – these guys just get better and better.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like, Cade's rookie year hasn't been as, like, popping as Evan Mobley's. And to be – like, Evan Mobley's amazing. And right. Sky Barnes, too. But that's mostly because Detroit's a really garbage team, right? Like, I'm not down on where Cade is. Like, I would still probably take Cade number one overall for that exact same reason you mentioned.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's get moving. Mikus.
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Just hanging in there.
What did you bet on the game? I know you bet something. What did you bet? So
I took the boosted FanDuel Giannis, Steph, Embiid, and LeBron to combine for 100-plus points. So that was easy. And then I did Steph and LeBron over 25 each and Team LeBron to cover. So unfortunately, that last Zach LaVine 3 killed it. But I made money anyway because I put more money on them combining 100. So it easy. All worked out. Steph pulled all of that weight. My question for you boys. This is a note. The last All-Star Game MVP did go on to win the Finals MVP that same season. If we think about last season, so. Perhaps that's going to be happening in the future for us with Steph this season. That's the hope. But what do we think about the Chris Paul breaking his hand news? It says that he's out for 4 to 8 weeks. Ooh. How does that affect the possible standings or the hunt for the one seed coming back? I know we're, I think, 5 games back, but do we think the lack of Chris Paul for the rest of the probably duration of the regular season will be changing anything there? And there are people now on Twitter saying the Warriors got to draft Bronny so that we can see Steph and LeBron in LeBron's last season. What is your guys' take for that?
Well, you know, Joe Lacob is already saying he will not trade the pick because we got to get Bronny in the building. Yeah, you know, we know Joe Lacob likes those picks. You know, he sees the business side of it. Let's start with the Chris Paul point. All right, so Chris Paul, broken hand, 4 to 6 weeks. 4 weeks would be March 20th, which is...
I thought it was 6 to 8, but okay.
We'll go with yours. 6 to 8 weeks. 8 weeks would
be... That's a lot.
8 weeks is the beginning of the playoffs.
Ooh.
6 weeks is on the verge of it. I'm going to assume he's basically missing most of the second half. Do you think the Warriors can catch the Suns now? By the way, the chat is saying... Your 6 to 8 weeks number is more correct.
And he's reevaluating 6 to 8 weeks, so we don't even know if he's going to be back at the time. Though I assume he's going to be back right when the playoffs start. I would say 50-50. They're what, 6 games, 6.5 back right now. 50-50. I think the Warriors might start resting guys, but here's the thing: I don't know if they will because Memphis is a game and a half behind them. And if the Warriors are going to – if they get Draymond back, great. I think they're going to win more games, right? But the other thing is, if you're going to play in a 2-3 semi-series against Memphis, it'd be nice to get home court. I mean, they don't technically need it, but it'd be nice. And I think part of that is yeah, I mean, if the Suns do fall, I can see them going for it. The question, Sam, is will they go for it? Let's say they're one game back, five games left. Usually they rest a couple games. Will they rest? I would say no.
Yeah, I don't think it's actually going to affect the standings. Like, I'm looking at the
You don't Suns think the Suns are going to lose enough? You don't think they're going to lose enough?
I'm looking at their schedule, that Thunder, Pelicans, Jazz, Blazers, yeah. Knicks, Bucks. That's 4-2 without Chris Paul. You know, yeah. Magic, Heat. They'll be able to kind of cobble. I think, let's say I don't know. I think they'll be able to cobble it together because they've built enough thing. But I think the bigger issue is, I don't know how Chris Paul is going to look when he comes back. I don't know how the reintegration is going to be. Yeah, it's like it's one of those things where I don't know how he's going to look when he comes back. And again, I don't know how you feel. Do you really care if they get the 1 or 2 seed for the Warriors or the 3 seed?
No.
I guess I care about the matchup, but like it's too early to tell who that would be. Like to me, there's not really a big deal about getting the number one seed for the Warriors. Like maybe I'd have felt different 6-7 years ago, but like they're too veteran for me to care. Like I'm more concerned about Draymond getting healthy than I am about having home court.
Right. Yeah.
Like no. Home court without Draymond doesn't really mean anything to me.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. To his Bronny point, there's only one duel that would beat Steph and KD, I think, in last era, this era. It's Steph and LeBron. It's the only duel better.
I mean, they do have the same basketball brain. They are both kind of like team-oriented ball players. So, like, yes. I don't know. It'd be weird. I don't want to think about it. I'm not.
LeBron at 40. I mean, I think these guys, even 5 years from now, they'll be able to win. Yeah, let's keep it moving. But these guys, LeBron is not slowing down, man. It's disgusting, but it is what it is.
No, he's not. It's just less games a year.
It's annoying, yeah. But you know,
let's see.
Steph was making shots where he shot. They were touching the bottom of the net before going. It looked insane. The net was not even moving, and he did a look away from like 35. Some of these shots that he was hitting, the crazy part about this is I hadn't seen him make these shots all season, it feels like, right? Just all season, if everything kind of felt like a struggle. And just tonight, it just looked like, you know, classic peak Steph. Just, God.
BZ, what's up, man?
Yeah, man, I'm just having a laugh. How can a guy score 50 points and then people say he choked? Fucking crazy. It's mental. On Andy's point, this is the first time the whole season I've seen Steph just be Steph, just like, you know, just go berserk, and really enjoyed it. Without him, I wouldn't even be watching this stupid All-Star game, but best of all time, greatest shooter of all time. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Thank you, guys.
VZ, appreciate you.
Might need to get him a mic or something, VZ. You gotta, or speak closer to the phone, maybe. Yeah.
Soft tone, but yes, I do agree with him. It is kind of funny. I mean, that's how it goes, right? Like you hit every shot, and then he misses the one to seal the game. People are like, huh? Okay. Can't hit the big one. And it's like, dude, if you watch stuff, I'm not concerned about his ability to hit the big one. It's just kind of how it goes, right? Sometimes it just happens that way.
Just enjoy hoop, man. People are just, you know, they'll be trolls. But no, that was he was hunting for that one though at the end, right?
Yeah, he was.
But you made the point that though they were hunting for him. Like LeBron was like, hey, like get him the ball. I mean, like you said, if LeBron wanted to fucking shoot it 4 times down the stretch, a guy's gonna get the ball and shoot it 4 times down the stretch. He did it. You know, he waited until, all right, Zach LaVine made the three. Now I'm gonna go. You know, now I'm gonna do mine. And you know, he did his MJ impersonation, right? His Kobe MJ impersonation. So, you know.
He did. He did indeed too. He is a showman himself.
Two showmans.
All right, Ben, what you got for us, bro?
Yo, so I'm texting with my friend before the game. He's like, we got to bet some shit. We got to bet something. I'm looking at the lines. I'm like, I don't know. LeBron's probably going to gun for the MVP. We should do the over. He said, no. Wiggins, 11.5. Got to bet the over. I'm like, I don't think Wiggins is going to get the over. Halfway through the third quarter, Wiggins is 10 points. Doesn't get another minute in the game.
Whose fault is that for Ben?
Sorry, are you calling in to say that the fix was in? That the coaches made a decision. We're not letting the Wiggins betters win tonight.
It's what it felt like. I don't understand. Bengals money line kills me. I had the Bengals in the over halfway through the third. Yeah, legalizing betting in New York, not going well for me.
Ben, I appreciate you as always. My Wiggins man.
Oh, bet. I mean, I parlayed LeBron and LaMelo, so I shouldn't talk. But I hit.
Nobody loves LaMelo more than you love LaMelo. Jokic got benched at the end. You didn't even play. Imagine if you bet on him.
I don't know why I was betting an All-Star game.
We gotta have
a talk off mic. let's get Parizosh up here.
Hey guys, can you hear me now?
We can hear you much better. What's going on, bro?
Sorry, I was driving before, but I was saying I'm going to the All-Star. I'm going to the Portland game on 24th, and I'm afraid I'm going to see a Steph Clunker because he went for 50 today. But anyway, I also wanted to ask, do you think this is him breaking out of the slump officially? And if he goes on a tear like he did last time after the All-Star break, does he still have a chance at the MVP? That's my question.
Great question. Andy, floor is yours.
Look, man, we thought he would break the slump like 14 times already. I don't even know if he's still in a slump. I guess he struggled the last few games, but I don't know. But he definitely has a chance to win MVP. I don't know if that matters to him. Maybe third, it's a lot. But yeah, of course, they're the second best team in the NBA, second best record in the NBA. If he shoots like 44-45% from three, or shoots better after the All-Star break, Draymond comes back and they zoom up the state. Let's say they win like 58 games, and they're the second best record in the league. Sam, is there anybody else that Embiid? I guess I don't know. He should win MVP almost.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay, so let's be honest about this. So people are saying the MVP race is between Jokic, Embiid, and Giannis.
Yeah.
Those three teams are 6 games, 5 games, and 8 games behind the Warriors record-wise. It's pretty hard to justify if the Warriors go on a run and win 60 games, they go 18 and 5 jeez, in the second half of the season.
All right, well.
And they win 60 games. And who knows? I don't think that'll get them the one seed because I think the Suns have probably won too many games, but like maybe it does. Why would he not win the MVP? You know
60 games he wins it, but let's say 56.
56, probably not, because that's a kind of a crappy set. Like they should win 58 to 59 games. Given their schedule. But yeah, you're right. If they end the season with the second best record in the NBA, I don't know, man. Sure, if the Warriors win 58 games and the Bucks win 56 and Giannis is playing out of his mind, like, sure, give it to Giannis. That makes sense to me. But if the Warriors win 58, 59 games, and all the guys you're saying are the MVP only win like 49 to 50 games, it's hard to make that argument, especially if Steph plays hot in the second half, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you look at the other three players too, I think Giannis is probably the best chance because I think Jokic is probably just going to win two little games, even though he's amazing. He's one of my favorite players to watch. And Embiid's got Harden coming through where just now they're both going to ISO for 48 straight minutes.
It's going to throw them in a little bit of a loop. Yeah.
It's going to be like Embiid seems happy now, but believe me, let's check back in a month from now, see how Embiid feels. And then Giannis
22 dribble package while Embiid's standing there calling for the ball. I'm excited.
I'm putting Philly on my league pass.
You're watching it, right? Yeah,
I'm setting the DVR right now.
And then Giannis is probably the only one, right? Like, that's probably the guy where you're saying, like, that team could get hot. But the Bucks have struggled all season, like, quote unquote. They struggled, or they just haven't been able to get on like a 9-10 game win streak. So, like, they might finish 7-8 games behind the Warriors' record. So you're almost, you know, process of elimination there. You're right. The Warriors get to 58, 59, 60 wins, and Steph shoots and gets hot, and this team is where it is. It's almost like him winning that first MVP. It's just he's the best player on the best team. There you go. Simple as that.
Yeah. I also don't really
care that much.
But yeah.
Just get healthy for the playoffs, right? That's kind of it's the goal here.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ricky Garcia, my man.
Oh boy, look at the AV. Look at the Bob Myers.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing tonight?
Phenomenal. What's up, man?
All right. Well, first of all, let me respond to your leadoff hitter, because I do not tolerate the Jalen Green slander. And let me ask you this, as we are approaching the end of the NBA season, just as a whole, what are some things that you would say you did not see coming this season?
Ooh, we need a 2-hour pod then. Things I did not see coming this season. The obvious ones, the Cleveland Cavaliers. But on a broader scale for the NBA season, it's the parity. Teams haven't separated at all. I kind of thought at minimum the Bucks would go on a tear. I thought the only team that's really gone on a tear is the Phoenix Suns. I thought the Bucks, the Suns, the Jazz, I thought the Brooklyn Nets, I thought there'd be a few more teams that would just kind of be hot and get above. And like, really, this season's going to end with probably 10 teams being between like 51 and 56 wins.
God, that's off the top. Just off the top of your head, Tim, just incredible response. I can't even combat that. A couple of things I think for the Warriors that have been surprised. Just Andrew Wiggins is incredible. He had Ben called in and was talking about betting on Wiggins' over under, but the fact that he was in the All-Star game was great. There was a clip of Embiid kind of saying like, damn, like you went to Golden State and now you're a third splash brother, right? He's shooting 40%. Steph had a hot mic tonight and he was screaming about Wiggins shooting 40% from three. That was pretty cool. So I think it's been one of the most surprising things of the season. Reason why they've won, one of the reasons why they've won so many games. So like that's been a big thing for me. Like obviously Kuminga's been awesome. I'm with you though. This has been one of those seasons where it's like, it's not that the NBA is bad. The NBA is good, but the Warriors are back in title contention, like firmly top 1, 2, 3 odds to win a title. And, like them winning a fourth title this season, Sam, is very, very, very much within reach. It is not a let's get into the 5 seed and 4 seed and just kind of have a fighting chance, right? Like the Warriors are they could easily be the best team in the West. Like looking at them by the end of the season, you're like, yeah, the Warriors are rolling on all cylinders. Draymond's back healthy, and the Suns just got Chris Paul back. We don't know if he's okay. And the best team right now in the West, that's the Warriors. And who could have known that? Who could have known that? But sorry, what was their preseason over-under? Do you remember? What was it?
48.5.
Jesus.
And the West feels – okay, so like the Suns have the Chris Paul situation. I still think he'll probably be back and they'll be fine. They're a damn good team, right? And Memphis is coming up. But I feel like the Warriors still are in a very good situation if they get healthy in their own right. You know, like everything is in a very good spot for the Warriors. And I agree with you. Like that's the thing. I didn't really know how good a spot they would be in. And I can't really complain about where they're at. They need to get healthy. They need Draymond healthy, that's for sure. But everything's looking positive going forward if he gets healthy.
Yep.
All right, we're going to end it here. Mick, what's up?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, you know, Sunday night, having fun.
That's a good one. Two fun questions. First one. Out of everyone, as you can see before, they had LB and Sean Livingston. They had roles after they played within the organization. Who do you think will have that kind of role out of the role players that we have this year? And I don't know if you've guys seen – oh, second question. I don't know if you've guys seen, but there was this guy who tweeted that he'll take a shot for every Steph – made three-pointer. Did someone check on him?
Oh, first off, I gotta find that guy because 17 shots. That's what MJ looked like.
Dude. MJ's eyes were fucking oozing tequila today, man. I just
it's just hey, hat tip to the goat. All right, who do you think on this Warriors team is most likely to get a front office position? Or a coaching staff position?
Staff? No, I don't think it's close.
You got to go with the role player.
You said role players. Oh, sorry. Okay, my bad. So Zaza and Sean have done it. So if you take into account
that type of
NLB, so if you take that type of player – I don't think Andre wants to do it. I don't think Andre does. I know people are saying Andre. I don't think he wants to do it.
He's got a job if he wants it, but he has not indicated that he wants it.
I don't think he wants it. David, I was gonna say Looney's probably the closest, even though he's a starter.
Just teaching young fellas how to set screens.
I can't think of anyone else because their bench is so young. Like, I don't. I'm sure JTA would jump at the chance, but like, it's like a combination of they want guys with like a Warriors. Like he's just been here. He's won titles. He's been a key piece of those teams, right? Like the only two options are basically Andre and Lou. Like everybody else is either too young or just not good enough. So
yeah, I could. I mean, I will say I could see JTA being a coach one day. But yeah, okay. I'm gonna go with Loon too. Is it kind of lame? But we're in the same way.
I think Steph is going to be a coach front. Like I think he'll be a great one because he's just so poised and like I don't think Draymond could be a coach. He's too.
I think Steph's going the Barry Bonds route. I think he's going to disappear and then just like show up to do a 2-day shooting clinic with whoever the young player is. You know, sit courtside, get you know, dap everyone up, and then just call it a night.
Just with his three kids. Fair enough. I think you're right. With another new show on the line, I'm sure. That's cool. Where we'll end it.
I appreciate all you guys.